Hello and thank you for tuning in. We're excited to share a powerful and transformative message with you, brought to you by the Transformers Global Leadership Center. Our vision is focused on raising a new generation of Christian leaders who are called to bring about personal, national, and global transformation. Whether you're looking to deepen your faith, grow as a leader, or make an impact in your community, this message is designed to inspire and equip you to fulfill God's calling on your life. And here's the best part. You can download and listen to all our messages online. Simply visit www.transformersglobal.org and gain access to this life-changing content. You'll find practical insights and spiritual guidance that can help you step into your God-given purpose. Thank you for being part of this movement. Together, we can make a difference in the world. We look forward to walking this path with you.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us once again this evening. I'm hoping that it's going to be a very empowering session for you. We started a long conversation this month about the right way, the right and wrong way to view your year. And we want to summarize that. I'm actually starting a new series from next week. So we are summarizing that conversation on how to start your year by, you know, looking at some practical conversation on what we can do differently in terms of planning our life from now to the rest of our life. Once again, we're welcome. I said something last week. I think it's in our last week session. I just want to give a little background before I jump straight into what I want to share today. But I think it's in our last week conversation, you know, where I mentioned that you need to view your life as an enterprise. You need to view your life as an enterprise. We read a scripture in Proverbs 24, verse 3 to 4. You know, it mentioned that any enterprise is built by wise planning, becomes strong through common sense, and profits wonderfully by keeping abreast of the facts. The reason why many of us find ourselves where we are, to be very honest with you, it's not because of village people. It's not because of anything somewhere, somehow that is, you know, controlling your life and making it impossible. It's not even because of Nigerian economy. It is as a result of the way you live your life. External success is designed by your internal mechanisms. They are the things that control how successful you are in life. Okay? Many of us don't approach our life with some sort of seriousness, with some sort of dignity, with some sort of awareness of what we hope to do or what we hope to achieve. So we just go through life, we live life, you know, especially in Africa where we are taught that, you know, religion controls most of the things that happen to us. You know, many of us grew up with the attitude of chance. Okay, so you went to church, somebody gave a testimony. Hey, brethren, I was going somewhere. I saw this man. The man took my number, gave me a job, changed my life, and everybody will shout amen. So anybody that walks out of the church is moving in the streets, looking for and hoping that maybe one day that they will be passing and one big man will splash water on their clothes. And then I will say, hey, how are you? And then from there, they can now give them a job or set them up. Or maybe if you're a lady, you are hoping that maybe you can marry a rich man. And, you know, we have that sense of chance. We have that sense that, you know, maybe one day something will happen. Or maybe one day, you know, the same way we even assume that Africa, you know, some people will just tell you one day Nigeria will change. One day our state will change. And the more you live, the more you discover that, you know, that one day eventually never comes. I mean, check how old you are now. Check when you started hearing about one day that never comes. Even if it comes, it comes to like 0.0001% of the population. Okay, anytime somebody gave a testimony of a car miracle in your church, calculate the number of people who are in church and try to analyze what is the percentage of the people who got a car miracle this year. You will see that life is not designed to happen by miracles. Life is not designed to happen by by chance. Life is designed to be predictable. In fact, that is why there is judgment. God is going to judge you because of what you did, the actions you took, you know, to move towards a particular direction. That is why there's judgment. Okay, so every day you wake up, you are making choices. Whether you are intentional about those choices or not, you are still making a choice. So if you wake up today and then you don't make a choice, you are making a choice. What is the choice? You made a choice not to make a choice. And then when life begins to happen to you, understand that. So sometimes when you are in your room and you are frustrated and you are thinking about how things are not working, how things are difficult, this one and that one, I want you, each time you find yourself in that mood or in that depressive mood, when you are done being depressed, tell yourself, well, I brought myself where exactly I am. Because intentionally, I could have made a huge impact with my life. Our next series, I think I can talk about it. From next week, I'm going to talk about becoming God's entrepreneur. Part of my intention is to demystify the concept of money. I want to demystify the idea of money. I made my first million naira as a student. I was a student in ASUT. When I was a student, I had a car, I had a job, I had a business. You know, there were a lot of things I was doing as a student. I made my first money as a student in university, and that was around my second year. Okay. I know by the time I left school, some of my friends can confirm this, I had a business that was employing some of my classmates. Okay. So in terms of how money works, I think there is something I can offer as an advice. I want to demystify money. I said it before we started this conversation that in the next two to three to five years, the least person that will be attending our conversations is going to be a millionaire. The emphasis is not money. When we start, you will see what I mean. But you see, when you read the Bible, you discover that the least thing you can have is money. The least conversation you can have with God is money. You know, the Bible talks about having spiritual heights in God. One of the least convertible resources on earth is money, which explains why anybody can have it. Whether you're a Christian or not, you can have it. Because it's not something that is controlled by paying any other extraordinary price. No. You just need to understand how money works, how to convert it, how to get it to work for you. There are plain principles. There's nothing mysterious about it that makes you to move ahead further in life faster. And from next week, I've been preparing strongly for that in my heart. And from next week, I'm hoping that anybody who will begin to attend that meeting, you know, the issue about money will be demystified. Also, I want to see how to demystify an effective life for you. Okay. I'm going to share a screen today. Okay. I'm going to share my screen. Can you guys see my screen? Can you see my screen? You can unmute and say yes.
Yes, we can
see. Okay, awesome. I shared a story. I shared a story. Few years back in my life, there was a time I had a couple of issues, you know. I had a lot of challenges I was going through, you know. Nothing was working financially, you know. You know, everything around my life was upside down, okay. I can even tell you that I even went for deliverance. I went to deliverance and mountain of fire, prayed, and they casted demon out of me. I even fell down, manifested. My clothes was very, very dirty. Telling you a real life story. My clothes were dirty. I was ashamed in the middle of the church. Big manifestation. And that night I had powerful dreams, you know, that showed me that something actually happened in my life. Real life story. Not a joke. Realize that, you know, when I have these conversations, I keep it real. I'm not here to play my role, or you're not paying anything for the event, so you can't really say I'm benefiting anything from you. We are here to have real life conversations that will change you. But after some time, there were still some certain kinds of results I wanted to see in my life. I wasn't seeing it. And in one of my personal conversations with God, I had God tell me that even if I call all the men of God in the whole world to lay hands on me, that my life will never change. And that was when he first of all introduced the concept of transformation, transform your life. Okay. And then one of the things God began to explain to me is how my internal processing controls my external life. That things that happen outside of me is as a result of my internal processing. Let me say this to you. The devil cannot attack your life until he creates his character in you. So the characteristics of devil is what produces devilish results. And if it's in your life, let's say, for instance, that somebody is lazy, you can't pray out laziness. You can't sing out laziness. You can't go to church and clean the church and clean out laziness. You have to train yourself to be hardworking. So God was bringing my attention to the fact that the things I hope to shift in prayer are certain responsibilities assigned to me as an individual to do something about. And that was when I began to notice the differences when you are looking for a personal experience from God and when you need to do something in order to make a progress in life. One of them is have a life plan. Have a life plan. I was in South Africa when I wanted to teach about the mind. I wanted to teach about the power of the mind. So I went and started studying the mind. And what was shocking to me is that there's a way when I do research, there's a way I begin to narrow it down. Then I started narrowing it down to the African mind. I started doing some research on the African mind. And I saw a journal that shocked me. That journal was published like early, I think, the ethnocentric study of the African mind, something like the ethnopsychiatry, something study of the African mind. So these were studies that they took like 1950 something. It's an old journal. So I began to study the journal. And one of the things I saw in that journal shocked me. Like my eyes were opened. I was like, what is going on here? For instance, it was in that journal I saw that now when the white people came to Africa, that they discovered that the African man had a problem with planning, that the best of us can plan at most for 1 year, that the very, 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 very best of us, the intelligent ones amongst us, can just maybe plan for 1 year or maybe between 6 months to 1 year. But that they realized that an average African process their activities by the day, at most by the week. And if you find anybody who is doing monthly or weekly or 2 year plan, it's rare. And they said that they saw that we liked frivolities like maybe partying, women, having fun, you know. I was reading the journal. I was just looking at my life, looking at Africa, looking at my friends, looking at my environment. I was wondering, these were studies people did about us years. Now you understand why colonization was successful, because they studied us to understand how we think, and they packaged a solution that will fit into how we think, and that is why we are where we are today. Now, and even when you look back, most local governments in Nigeria don't have 1 year plan. Sometimes if you find a local government that have 6 months plan, you'll be shocked. Most states in Nigeria don't have 1 year plan. They don't have any strategic roadmap anywhere. He's just doing projects, commissioning projects, looking for how to siphon money. He explains why the community is like that. There's no planning. There's no planning. Nobody is thinking. I don't want to delve into politics now. When you look at Nigeria at large, then you look at Africa at large, you can see that nobody is making any plan. You think that somebody is making a plan. Nobody is sitting down anywhere making plan. All we are just thinking is, how do we live today? How do we live tomorrow? That's all. But you see, the reason I'm bringing this is not because I want to talk about Nigeria. Because I realize that the reason why we don't have plans as a nation is because the individuals who live in that nation don't have personal plans. Because nations are not just geographical location. Nations are people. So if you have people who don't make plan, what will happen automatically is that they will not be able to make plans for their society. And even if you have a leader who don't make plans, leading a society of people who don't make plans, they won't even be able to hold those leaders accountable, because it's the same. It's the same lifestyle, it's the same result, it's the same outcome. You don't even notice that something is wrong. You don't even notice that something is wrong. To you, somebody is doing something powerful because there's no plan. A lot of things are going on around the world. Nations are building, setting up strategic plans. Everybody is looking at how to expand AI is the next thing.
talking about how to take advantage of, you just see other places, everybody is just busy celebrating that they are building roads or that they are constructing hotels. You know, so you see that the society we live in is shaped by the people who live within that society. So changing the society starts with us changing, living your life and being intentional. So if we go to this document, for instance, I said life, purpose, and vision, transform your life. There's a place you give your name. After our teaching last year, I gave out this document, and I promised that one day we are going to make our time to go through it. That's what we are doing now, okay? So for instance, I mentioned that everybody must have an established purpose. There must be an established purpose around your life. You must be able to sit down and ask yourself, where is this life going to? Where is this life going to end? What is the ultimate purpose of this life? Jesus declared at the age of 12, don't you know that it is for this reason that I came? There's a purpose for his life. You that is listening to me now, what is the ultimate goal of your life? Where are you going to end up? You can't leave that to chance. You have to sit down under God and figure it out. And that is where the vision now comes out for. So for instance, I wrote here, purpose to provide for transformational leadership. And let me also say that purpose shouldn't be anything, you know, you can't put, purpose can be money, can be house. You see, when you begin to think in terms of futuristic plan, it changes even your priorities. Purpose can no longer be car or house. Purpose can no longer be, it can be that I want to be the richest man in Africa. Most times it has nothing to even do with your wealth and influence. It is driven by impact. What impact, what legacy, what footprint do you want to leave behind? How will your life count? If every Nigerian, if each person in this group, let's leave Nigeria, let's leave the world. If each person in this room will leave this place and start thinking, how will their life count? A lot of things will change. There will be a lot of difference within your environment. If you are working in an organization, there's going to be a lot of difference. If you find yourself in anywhere, you will see that a lot is going to change. Why? You are being a purposeful person. So he said, establish your purpose to provide for transformational leadership. Then from there, you establish your vision, which is to see transformational leadership in every sphere of society. From there, you now establish your life mission to set up a platform for the discovery, development, equipment, and empowerment of new leaders. So you see that there is a pattern. Okay, I understand that my purpose is connected to leadership. Then the next thing is I have to craft a vision that drives that purpose. And then I ask myself, what is the mission? What am I going to do? Vision talks about the what. The mission talks about the how. How am I going to get there? What do I need to put in place in order to get there? Let's say that someone, for instance, there's somebody in this group, for instance, you believe that one of the reasons God called you on earth, one of the reasons God called you on earth is for social justice, for instance. Okay? It's for social justice or to do something in terms of entrepreneurship or to help economy or, you know, whatever you believe it is. You now have to establish a vision. Your vision could be to see a community where every individual, no matter your class, no matter the region, no matter your education, no matter where you are coming from, should be able to access quality opportunity or have access to justice. So the next thing will now be, okay, how am I going to do it? How will I do what I'm going to do? Okay, so maybe I'm going to set up a school, or I'm going to build an institution, or I'm going to build a university that is going to offer, or I'm going to... So you're now thinking, okay, what exactly am I going to now develop in order to be able to establish that? You must have this thing figured out for your life. Your life has to be going somewhere. There has to be a plan. Most people don't succeed. I've realized this because there's no plan anywhere. I'm looking for a job. Okay, so what's the plan? How are you planning to get a job? There's no plan. Nothing mapped out. When developing a vision, another thing I've also realized is that you need to build vision around different areas of your life. Okay, so what I'm talking about now in terms of life, family,
your life talks about your personal life as an individual, okay? Your family relationships, the kind of relationships you like to build, the kind of family you want, a career or business, okay? Wealth. From next week, we'll start talking about wealth, okay? Like I said, we are going to demystify wealth. And sometimes, most times when we talk about wealth, wealth is not referring to money, okay? City, okay? What kind of city impact? And then, of course, what kind of legacy do you want to leave behind, okay? Write these things down, note it somewhere, and let it be something that is driving your life. You are waking up each day asking yourself, what do I need to do in order to attain that goal, in order to attain that vision? And then have quotes. I have quotes that inspire me. I have quotes that inspire me. This is one of them. For instance, you know, a leader is one who knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way, by John Maxwell. Have quotes that when you look at it, it inspires you and it helps you to understand where you are going to or where you are headed to. Okay, so each time I see this, a leader is someone who knows the way. It means that it gives me that responsibility to pursue and understand the way, because I have to know. Okay, then the second thing is that I don't just have to know. If you've been around me very well, you will notice how impactful this quote I'm sharing with you has been. So it's not just that I know what to do. So there is a responsibility on me to know what to do. But beyond that, you go the way. You take the lead. You make decisions that move towards that direction. And then you don't just stop there. You have to show others what you have learned. You have to show others what you've discovered. This is something that controls my life. Find the truth, walk the truth, and then show others the way. Show others the truth. Okay, then have personal statements. Have personal statements. Personal statement is, my goal is to contribute to the growth of leaders who are not only skilled in their craft, but also passionate about fostering change in their communities. I believe that leadership is rooted in integrity, empathy, and vision that create sustainable solutions to the challenges society faces. Through this vision, I aim to help bring forth a generation of leaders who will shape a better, more inclusive world. You see, what some of these things do is that it's training your mind in a particular way. It's training your mind in a particular direction. It's helping you to have a mindset. You remember I said that your external environment is controlled by what happens inside of you. So you are training yourself to have a mindset. You are training yourself to think in a particular way. Okay? And for instance, I am afraid. I get afraid. Sometimes I feel discouraged. Sometimes I feel depressed. You know, what happens to every individual can also happen to me. So sometimes I can just, you know, feel like maybe I'm not doing this anymore, or I'm tired of this. How I get my feet back is looking at some things I've written down. I have a book in my house. My wife calls it the book of my life. There are certain things I've started writing down in that book. I had that book since my university. There are certain things, anytime my wife sees me going through that book, she will just smile. Sometimes she will just say, "Ogenekwa," you know, because I just go back. I'm reminding myself. I'm renewing the vision. I'm renewing my heart. Sometimes I feel that some of the things I'm pursuing is not possible. Especially when you look at Nigeria, there are a lot of things so frustrating about Nigeria. And then when you sit down and say, why not just leave this in and focus on your life? And then you go back and you read those visions again. You read those things. It begins to see, you know, that, see, you are beginning to abandon what you are seeking. You are beginning to forget. You are beginning to forget what your life is about. So it's not just about saying, okay, even if you don't attain it, this is what your life is about. So you have to seek it till you die. Those things are reminders. So you must have personal statements. Some of these personal statements, let me also say something here. I also have personal scriptures, personal word of God. Maybe I'm praying or I'm having a special time with God, and sometimes He lays things in my heart. I also write it down there. So when I'm going through it, I'm reading it.
I'm reading. I always have a note where I'm writing down something. Always. With my phone, I'm always jotting down things. And when you go through it, it reminds you. Then, of course, there has to be SWOT analysis. So what is the SWOT analysis? You have to look at your strengths. You have to look at your weaknesses. You have to look at the opportunities. You have to look at your threats. You have to analyze it. Look at yourself as an individual and ask yourself, what are my strengths? You need to know your strengths. For instance, there was a time I took a pivotal career decision by looking at my strengths. I sat down and looked at my life from when I was in nursery school, as far as my memory can take me. And I began to ask myself, what gave me the most significance? What gave me the most results? What is it that people spot out or identify easily about me? What gives me the greatest relevance or the greatest opportunity to make impact? I went online, took tests, take personality tests. There are some of these personality tests online that will, you know, show you. Sometimes they will even point you and tell you that this type of career is better for you. There's a personality test I took once. I was applying for a job. It's an internal test. I wish there's a way I could get everybody I know to write that test. So I noticed that it's only people who apply to the job that we are invited to take that test. I saved the result. Each time I look at that result, it's like somebody was reading me all my life. That personality test was awesome. Sometimes I just go back to it because there are a lot of things they pointed, the way I think, the way I make decisions, the way I see things, and it was good. So it helped me to make decisions about personal development. Now, you look at your weaknesses. So for instance, many of us are not even maximizing our weakness. Our weakness is not just something to be depressed about. Our weakness should guide your personal development. So for instance, one of the things that guides my personal development is understanding what my weaknesses are. Let me give you an instance. If somebody feels that, okay, I don't know how to handle money. Anytime I make money, for some reason, the money disappears. I have issues managing money. Okay, so how can it guide your development? Maybe you can study and learn. Maybe you can buy books on financial management. Maybe you can get close to people who are managing their money well and ask them, so how are you really doing it? How do you manage these expenses? This one, that one, that one. I make so much amount, and I discover that at the end of the month, I'm not even able to. So what happens is that as you look at your life and discover what your weaknesses are, it can become a helpful guide to know how to do personal development. Most of us are not doing personal development effectively because you don't have a SWOT analysis of yourself. What are your strengths so that you can reinforce it? What are your weaknesses so that you can make adjustments and learn also how to improve it? What are your opportunities so that you can learn and develop and deepen it? What are your threats so that you can build caution around your life, so that you can fortify yourself? Your personality sometimes can make it seem like a threat to you. So for instance, if you are somebody who is, maybe because of your personality, you have a way of trivializing things, or you have a way of making quick decisions and things like that. And this has led you to a lot of bad decisions in the past. And you understand, okay, that this is a pattern in my life and I need to do something. You see, it becomes a guide to personal development, and it helps you to know the things to reinforce and then the things to be careful about. So what happens is that I said, have a seven-year plan. Plan at least for 7 years. If not for anything, because it's a problem for Africans. Planning is a problem for Africans. I don't need to overemphasize it. As you are listening to me now, you need to know the kind of plan you have for yourself. Okay? I have a book. In that, my book that I told you, I planned my life till 80. There's a place I wrote on that book. I started doing this as early as my university days. I wrote life at 80. When I got married, when my wife saw it for the first time, she said, oh, you are planning to live for 80 years. It's not possible. Oh. I say, I've never really admired old age. So, okay, maybe 85 is fine. If I live 85, I can go. I don't want to be a burden to anybody. But of course, after some time, I changed that. And I changed it to life at 120. I now want to live 120.
because I rediscovered a new dream and a new understanding of old age and what it can do. Okay, so that's personal to me. Okay, but I've increased it. It's no longer life at 80 or life at 85. But the idea is to break your life into phases. So what I did was that I broke my life into tens. Okay, so I build per decade. So between now and the next 10 years of my life, I've started thinking of things I want to do for the next decade. And after that decade, the other things I would want to start going into, or I would want to start investing in. So when you have a blueprint, when you have an idea of what you are trying to do with your life and you are thinking, there is no way you will not be moving towards that direction. And there is no way your life will not be making substantial improvements every year. So when you know what those breakdowns are, you now begin to do what? You write it down for your life, for your family, for relationship, for your career or business, for wealth, for your city impact, and for the kind of legacy that you want to leave behind. You plan it, write it down. Don't just say, I have it in my head. Oh, I know. No, write it down. Take out time to write it down. There are some times in Enugu, I will just go book a hotel room. There's a favorite hotel rooms I had then, usually beginning of the year, sometimes within the year. I'll just take 3 days off, lock myself, buy fruit. When I go in, I don't go out till I'm out. Okay, so I go in, lock myself out, find a cheap hotel where you can maybe pay 3,000 or 4,000. Go inside, lock yourself in 3 days, think about these things, pray about these things, write things down, and after 3 days, you come out. You can do it in your house. You can find somewhere. It doesn't have to be. But what I'm trying to say is that you need to be intentional about your life. You can't just be existing. You can't just be in the noise. You can't just be in the move. You can't just be all the time, everything is loud, noise. No, you can't plan your life like that. You can't move forward like that. I've even read where top billionaires will always tell you that they periodically move away from their business, move away from life, take a time out, and then they think, and then they dream, and then they want to figure out what the next phase of their business, what the next phase of their life is going to be. You always hear people say, opportunity meets preparation. How does opportunity meet preparation? Is the kind of preparation that have definite and specific plans for their life. Okay, moving along, break this thing down into yearly activities. So you see how we started. I'm not asking you to make a New Year resolution. I'm not asking you to make a life resolution. Then you now break it down, you keep breaking it down, so you can now come where you have a year at your glance. And what is happening in terms of your year at your glance is January, February, these are the things I want to accomplish. You break it down. So I do this with my Google Calendar. I use the Google Calendar to do this. So every skill I want to learn this year, I've identified it. Every book I want to read this year, I've identified it according to the month. And those books are based on the SWOT analysis, areas of weakness and strength, opportunities, things I'm deepening myself into, things I want to learn more on. I will strategically look for books in those areas and then arrange it according to the month, how I want to do it. So like now that we are running Transformers, okay, I have a calendar where I've designed the activities I want to run for each month, progressively how we want to do it, the teachings and how I want to build it up. So we are starting with a plan. We are moving into Becoming God's Entrepreneur. The title of our next session is Becoming God's Entrepreneur, to help you to demystify the mystery and issues surrounding money. Okay, so you have to break down your life. If you're a student, you break down your life. So for instance, let me give you an instance. You're a student, you are reading a book, you are entering a year, you have maybe your course outline. Okay, this is what you are going to study this year. Break it down. If you are going to write your exam, for instance, in September, and the book has 10 chapters, you now have to sit down and plan. Okay, so how am I going to cover this thing? You can't live your life in chance. Towards the exam, you start running around. And then you now make peace. It will not look like you are not intelligent. No,
You are just not utilizing your life and your time the way that you should. You break it down, you ask yourself, okay, I have 5 subjects. I have so topic to cover in those subjects. Okay, so in January, I'm going to focus on these topics or on these pages. And this is how I'm going to read it. You break it down. February, I'm going to cover this area. March, I'm going to cover this area. April, I'm going to cover this area. By May, I should be done. Then I start doing review. I do review June, July, August. And by September, I'm ready. There is no way you will not come out with flying colors. It is no longer prayer point. You are organizing your life. You are organizing your life. The same way for a business person. You break your year down for your business. The same way for marriage, you break it down. The same way for your children, you break it down. I have specific skills I want my children to learn, written down. It's not in my head, written down. I have certain experiences I want to do for this year. There are certain things I'm saving for this year. I have specific amount I need to put out every month concerning that thing I'm saving for that I want to do. So you can't afford to live your life by chance. You have to break down. You take that life goal, take that 7-year plan, you break it down into yearly plan. So the goal is that you look at your 7-year plan, you break it down into years each year, and then you now ask yourself, at the end of the year, you now review how far you have gone. And then you go here, you find out what are those things I've written down, I've planned and organized, then you begin to integrate it. Then each time you enter a month, that is breaking down your year, each time you enter a month, ask yourself, what are my top goals for the month? This is how I usually do it. I'm not trying to achieve everything, but there are key top goals I want to achieve for that month. Someone said that 20% of what you do give you 80% of your results. So he said that the secret is to identify those 20% of what you do and make it 80% of your activities. Then you will change results. So let me give you an instance. I'm going ahead of myself. So you see, why people succeed when they go abroad is that abroad has a way of prioritizing 20% of what gives you results and making it your focus for what you focus for 80%. People are poor in Nigeria, not because Nigeria can't give them money, but 80% of their time is focused on things that don't even improve their life. You know, build systems around. Let me give you, for instance, one of the systems I have. My phone gives me a weekly update of how much time I spend on phone. So on Sunday now, I'm going to get an alert on my phone and it will tell me, okay, this is how much time that you spent on phone. When I open it, I will see this is how much time you spent on WhatsApp. This is how much time you spent on Facebook. This is how much time you spent on Instagram. This is how much time you spent on this. And then it will compare it for me with last week. So it can tell me you are up this week. Now, by the time I see you are up this week, I say, oh, that means I'm beginning to spend more time with my phone. Then I tell myself this week, I need to reduce spending time on my phone every week. So every week I'm trying to conquer. As the alert comes in, I'm trying to conquer to see, okay, am I giving more time to frivolities? Or even those time I'm spending on phone, is it in line with what I'm doing? Or is it just that I'm just busy surfing the net, reading useless comments online that is not adding any fruitfulness to my life? Is that what it's about? Or am I being productive? Okay, so you have top 12 goals for the month. Okay, monthly declarations. Okay, so this is some of these things I'm just sharing is I'm just trying to give you an idea. Okay, it doesn't necessarily mean that you will follow it this way if you don't want to. Okay, there are a lot of self-improvement tools you can even look out, you know, to see how to build it. But there are certain things that declarations, it's more like programming myself for something specific, saying something to yourself. Sometimes you hear people call it positive affirmations. It can be scriptures. It can be things that you've written down. It can be inspirations in your heart that you go and you tell people, you see people even tell you sometimes that you wake up, look into the mirror and say things to yourself. Those things work. It energizes you. It gives you the energy to pursue. Okay, I'm not going to spend so much time here. Top ideas of the month. I always do this. Every month I come, I look at different things I'm doing, and I ask myself, what are the top ideas I'm currently pursuing? Okay, is there anyone I need to drop? What are the new top ideas I need to also bring in? You know, you look at it and then you evaluate top habits for the month. This one is usually like a review. So you look at, okay, so what am I doing more that I need to maybe reduce? Or what do I need to increase? Or what do I need to, you know, modify? Or what new habits do I need to develop? Okay, you review it. So you are not leaving anything by chance. Okay, then top ideas for the month in terms of money, business, and family. Okay, so what kind of experiences would you like to create for family? What kind of things would you like to do in terms of business? What kind of family? As I'm talking to you, I have like conferences or events that I would like to attend for the year planned out. Maybe something that is specific to my career, or something that is specific, or something I want to go to just see how they are planning the conference so that I can take out ideas and inspire myself. If you don't live your life intentionally, something else will live it for you. If you leave vacuum in your life, something else will fill it in for you. So before you blame life for what it brings to you, ask yourself, what am I giving to life? What is my own input? Then have top areas of improvement and top achievement. I do this with my jotter. I do this with my jotter. And I do a tick. When I have this checklist for the month, things I want to do for this month, or areas I'm looking at for improvement, then at the end of the day, I look at it and I'm ticking. Okay, I did this one. Okay, I achieved this one. Okay. It also gives you a sense of accomplishment, and it propels you to do more. Look at your budget. Where is your money coming from, and where is it going to? Where is your money coming in from, and where is it going into? Do I need to restrict my expenditure? Do I need to work on expenditure? Do I need to increase my income? So what are the top areas of money coming into your life? Analyze it. Sit down and ask yourself, okay, this month of January, all the monies that got into my hand, what was their sources? Just analyze it. Then you analyze, okay, those monies that came in, how did it go? Bible said, it profits wonderfully by keeping abreast of facts. You have to keep abreast of the fact of your life. Okay? And then, so usually when there is a goal for January, I think I've mentioned this a bit, so we might not spend so much time on it. You will now break it down into weekly. So you break it down into weekly. These are the things I want to do for the week. These are the things I want to, you know, achieve Monday. So this is what it usually looks like. So I will plan it like this way. I have my weekly call actions. Okay. So when I identify what my weekly call actions is, pray, read the Bible, read a book, write or meditate, listen to message, speak. I've mentioned about affirmations, associations. Am I being intentional about association? Exercise, have fun, and review your vision. Of course, if you are working, if you are doing business somewhere, it could be. But these are core weekly actions that will help my soul, that will help my spirit, that will help my mind to function properly. So you have core actions. And based on those core actions, you are now going to be able to track, okay, which day am I doing it? Which day am I not doing it? How am I doing it? You plan your life, okay? And then usually, every Sunday, I create a moment, I sit down, and I review my actions, my weekly actions. The ones I didn't do well, maybe I might discover that week, I didn't pray every day. So I noticed that, okay, that I've been slacking in terms of prayer. Or I noticed that I didn't read the Bible much, that this week I read Bible twice or three times. I say, okay, now that I'm going into this new week, I reaffirm. I try to, you know, review and ask myself, okay, let me create an intentional time, or let me set an alarm, or let me do this. So you are constantly helping yourself to prioritize those things that are important to you. And then, of course, finally, I said, plan your week in line with your monthly goals. So you must make sure that your week aligns with your monthly goals, and your monthly goals must align with your yearly goals. And of course, your yearly goals must align with your life plan. So what you do every year is not to set New Year resolutions, but to review your life plan and to ask yourself, am I moving in the right direction?
And then take time off on Sundays. I've mentioned that. Also determine which area you will focus on. What are your core habits? Okay. The passage of the Bible you will read, areas that you need to pray about. Okay. Watch your performance in each core habit. Let me tell you something about prayer. I remember when God started telling me to write down prayer. If you don't write down prayer and you are specific, you know, most times why you don't know, why most of us don't have prayer life is that we don't really know what to pray. The reason most of us don't pray, I know you will say, but there's a lot I need to pray about. Yes, I know there's a lot, but write it down. Just write it down. Have a list. Have a list. Say, I'm going to trust God for this. I'm going to pray for this. It not only motivates you, but you see how it helps to develop your prayer life. Watch your performance in the core habits. Make your core habits and core actions to be in harmony. So, for instance, if you are focusing on making your business for the week, read a book on wealth as part of your core habits. Okay, so you want to improve your business sales. Can you buy a book on sales? You want to improve your student life. Can you buy a book that talks about successful students? So align, let your life be in sync. Let your life be in sync with what you are building. You will see that you will be cutting edge. You won't have time for frivolities. A lot of friends will leave. A lot of things will be shedded in your life. And then, of course, I've mentioned join a transformers meeting. Not just this conversation that we are having now, even the weekly membership conversations that is more practical and specific. You register online and you also get involved in that one. Because beyond just teaching, there we can ask questions, we make contributions, and then it's applicable. We make it more applicable. Something specific, not, okay, what if someone wants to, or I don't like such questions. I usually see it as lame questions. What if someone, leave someone alone, talk about yourself. Okay, I tried this last week, it did not work. Can we find out why it didn't work? So accountability helps you to stay on course. It helps you to stay in your vision, and it helps you to achieve results. I shared something. When we started PowerShift Fellowship, when we got students who registered, we are not very encouraged about the turnout. So one of my team members actually suggested, okay, do we shift it to next year and then maybe advertise it again to see how to get more people, okay? But because we had a board meeting, so PowerShift now has a board, and then we had a board meeting, and part of the board meeting was to approve the year plan. Okay, so we had a five-year strategic plan for PowerShift, which was supposed to start from last year and run through 2028 and 2029. And then we approved the strategic plan for 5 years by the board. And then we said, okay, starting from end of 2024, by the end of 2025, we already have even our board meeting fixed after March, which was in April. Okay. And the first question we asked, okay, so if we come to board meeting, what are we going to tell them about what we are doing, that why we didn't do it? We say, it's better we just do it the way we want to do it. Now that we are running that fellowship is one of the best things that is happening in my life now. But why didn't we stop it? Because of accountability. I am accountable to someone. If I just felt, I'm tired, let's just leave this thing. I was accountable. So accountability helps you stay on course. It helps you stay on vision. Someone said, for the top 12 goals for the month and the top ideas of the month, please, what exactly is the difference? Okay, so top 12 goals are things that you are planning to achieve. So your goals could be to maybe read a book, okay? Read a book can be a goal. Idea are things that you are thinking about. You know, sometimes you just get an idea, like, what if I start this? Or what if I do this? Or what if I open a shop? Or what if I open a restaurant? Learn to note down your ideas. Learn to note that sometimes, no matter how foolish, learn to document your ideas. Sometimes consistency of an idea can even show you direction. So that's what I mean by ideas. So look at the ideas of the month. And when you journal ideas, so ideas can become goals in the future. Goals are things you've already identified you want to do.
ideas are potential goals. So when you now see an idea that is worth it, you can now convert it and it becomes a goal. That's the difference. Okay. Okay. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope it was worth it for you. Live your life intentionally. Okay. You might say it's not as easy as we say it. Well, poverty is not easy also. Suffering is also not easy. When you try both of them, then you choose the one that is best for you. Okay, but you have to persist. There will be distractions, there will be discouragements, there will be things that will tell you, oh, you can't do this. But if you persist and if you continue to persist, you will discover that suddenly that you are making significant progress. And you don't need to get it 80%. If you practice what I've shown you 20%, you will see an improvement in your life. Only 20% of what I've taught you now, if you can be able to apply it into your life, you will see how far you will go. Thank you so much, guys, and God bless you.
Thank you for listening. Please do follow us on our social media handles on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok at Transformers Global LC, on Twitter X at TGlobalLC.